You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. The second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast that starts at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. 6 a.m., Bart. You and I did the morning thing for like a little bit, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
On the network?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? You remember, like, we had to be there, like, by 5 for those meetings?
I did a line of coke every morning.
And by the way, yeah, you were always on time. 5:45, you'd come strolling in.
I had to get woke up, man.
Well, these guys are on the air.
Get that LT.
Yeah. These guys are on the air, 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset. So they're in a bar at 6 a.m.
What are they serving up?
I don't know.
Like
serving up laughs and good sports takes.
No. I'm saying, like, you open up at a bar, what are you serving up?
Mimosas?
I'm gonna need some biscuits and gravy, man.
Biscuits and gravy?
Hey, man, listen, ain't nothing better than biscuits and gravy.
Well, I agree with you. But...
like, they don't have enough Bob Evans around here, man. Oh, you get that white. God.
The Bob that, Evans biscuits and gravy?
With that sage sausage
yes.
thing? Yes. Oh, I want that biscuit so damn dry that when I rehydrate it with that damn...
soak it up?
Sop
it up with biscuits.
Listen, I hear... what I do, I take screenshots of places that, like, I think look interesting. I found a place that somewhere around here is nothing but biscuits. It's just different types of biscuits, man.
Wow.
I'm going to find it for us.
Okay.
And we're going to do a show from there.
Right.
And we're going to tell people to get up early.
No.
At 10 o'clock.
No, the best part about our show.
I said early at 10 o'clock.
Lunchtime.
We're going to brunch it up. That's when you drink. You drink mimosas at brunch.
Yeah, of course you do.
We're going to do that. We're going to have some croquette madams and mashures.
Could you have a beer, though, at 6 a.m.?
I've never drank the beer, so I don't know what that's
You've
like.
You've never had a beer?
Nah.
A beer?
No.
Glass of beer.
I took a sip of orange something for like charity.
Oh, a shandy?
It was orange something.
Yeah.
And I took it for like charity, but I didn't really swallow.
Nah.
I didn't really swallow. I just put the fuzz on my lip.
Well, the boys did this last year, and it was a great success, so they're doing it again.
No diddy. See, they clipped that. They see.
I know. See, that's already been cut. That's already been dropped.
I see I put it on my lip.
Yeah.
Damn.
Just like half of the Ric Flair segment that got dropped, too. Anyways, back to DiPietro and Rothenberg. 6 a.m. Publicans, Manhasset, steps away from the Manhasset train station at the LIRR. So they're doing this again. After the show, the crew's going to take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubs. You get to sit with Rick and Dave on the train. That sounds like fun.
Sounds like a COVID invitational.
Like just come in there just coughing all over Rick.
It's going to be a couple
of You're my favorite.
Because they're gonna be drunk.
They're gonna
be drinking all the way during the show. So now when they come out, they're gonna be faced.
I love you, Rick, man. I mean, your beard, dude.
Oh, they just walk right up to him. Yeah, it's just that's just gonna be something.
Hey,
I want a camera on.
What
this
do you think the
time.
Giants are going to do this year?
Just breathing on them.
What do you think the Giants are going to do this year?
Rodgers and the Jets. Rodgers and the Jets.
Why do you hate the Jets so much?
Pre-game party with Rick and Dave, Thursday, May 2nd. Aren't we going to Yankee Stadium on Friday, May 3rd?
Are we?
That's what you and I are doing. The Detroit Tigre playing the Yankees in the real ballpark in the Boogie Down.
Let's do it.
What do you mean, let's do it? I thought we were doing it.
No. What I'm saying is they need to make sure they get us in the judges' chambers. Usually when I go to a judge's chamber, everybody in the judges' chambers get ice cream on me.
I like that.
Because they got some hell of an ice cream. They got the churro.
Uh-huh.
They got all the ice cream.
I'm all about that.
And I'm going to put on the judge gavel.
You're going to put the gavel on? I'm
being there like Judge Mathis, baby. If you whack and you ugly, I'm judging.
Why not Judge Wapner?
I'm giving you.
Why not Judge Wapner?
I love Judge Wapner.
Well, it should be then Wapner.
Judge Wapner.
I don't want to be Judge Wapner.
Judge Wapner is Judge Judy's husband. That's how she got all that money. Nobody make more money in TV than
Wait
Judge
a minute.
Judy.
Judge Judy is married to Judge Wapner?
Yes.
Is that true?
No.
That's not true.
That is
she
true.
She is not married to Judge
Wapner.
That is
true.
Is Judge Wapner still alive, by the way?
She took Judge Wapner did do the People's Court.
Yep, the People's Court.
And down the road, Judge Judy's husband did do the People's Court also.
Oh, okay.
Judge Wapner.
I just knew her husband was on the show. And then he gave it to her. She made, what, $72 million a year?
And they also never wore a gavel. It's tough to put a hammer on.
Well, not for Bart.
No, I always got a hammer.
Phrasing?
But what I'm saying is, like, who was her husband?
See?
Like, she makes $70 million a year. She's the highest paid person on TV.
$70 million a year.
Do you see them big old gold diamond earrings in her ear?
A year.
I don't know how she make more than Mathis and everybody else. Judge Joe Brown, he got caught
being drunk. Because she produces all of those shows
also.
Well,
that helps. Yeah.
Just like Ryan Seacrest?
Runs everything.
She runs it all.
Tremendous.
So Judge Mathis don't produce all that? You want to know why she do it? Because Judge Wapner gave her the juice.
It was Judge Jerry Sheinman.
Okay. Anyways, the DPHR.
Everybody been trying to bag Oprah. They should have had their sights on Judge Judy.
Maybe. Oh, I'm not going to go there.
She got to be looking for some young Thundercats. You know what I mean? Judge Wapner ain't getting it up no more.
No, of course not. The second annual DPHR and Rothenberg pregame party is brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company, Come As You Are. That was dangerously phrased.
Yes.
And by Zing Zang.
Zing Zang.
Zing Zang, Bart.
Zing Zing Zang. Nope. All I want to do is zoom, zoom, zoom.
Zoom in a boom, boom. America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Oh, there you go. Have some Zing Zangs here. That's where you
and
go.
And Bloody Marys.
Okay. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails. Available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please Zing Zang responsibly, Bart Scott.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's crazy? My blood sugar just leveled out.
Leveled out.
It took an hour. It took 70 minutes for my blood sugar to level out.
So we're done eating.
Yeah.
For now.
It finally leveled out, man.
All right. Can we get into this topic that we have been discussing we've been discussing this for a while now, and I'm telling you this is going to continue to be a story as we get closer to the draft, and that's about the Giants. Adam Schefter on the Giants. This is from Get Up. And what they're going to do with a quarterback situation in the draft.
The Giants are going to take a quarterback somewhere in the draft. The question that they're going to have to decide is, do they do it at 6 ahead of one of the top-rated elite wide receiver prospects in this draft? That'll be the big decision the Giants make in the next 9 days.
And that's the question. Is it going to be one of the top ones? Now, can I tell you a scenario that might sound crazy, but it like you always wonder where this stuff comes from. So Peter Schrager from NFL Network, he said after weeks on the phones with GMs and head coaches, he put out his first mock draft. And in it, he has the Giants trading up for J.J. McCarthy. That's what he had. And so that would mean that they would have to trade up with the Arizona Cardinals because they would go from 6 to 4. And they would make that trade because Arizona knows they can get their wide receiver at 6. Doesn't matter, right? Because the Chargers, that the talk is that the Vikings might try to get to the 5 spot. So the Giants would have to get ahead of 5 to get what they want. And so he has that happening. And then J.J. McCarthy would be the future of New York when it comes to quarterback play.
Yeah,
how do you feel about that?
I think that would be the first time Brian Daboll's job is in jeopardy.
Or Joe Shane? Well, here's Booger McFarland, who's going to be working the draft, doing all the homework on it.
He's already been doing all the homework.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. No, they're getting ready for it. Well, this is Booger McFarland about J.J. McCarthy.
If we are there next Thursday night,
well, that's
and the name J.J. McCarthy is called before the name Drake May, what will you say?
I'll be shocked because there's no way you can convince me that J.J. McCarthy is the third best player in this draft. I don't think he's the fourth best player in this draft. And we're talking about drafts. And this quarterback, as high as number 4, can we honestly say he's the fourth best player in this draft? And I know quarterbacks are going to go higher because of the supply and demand. I get all that. But just from a talent standpoint, you talk about the subjective and the objective and all that. But just from a pure talent trait standpoint, Drake May is a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. I've seen him do it at a higher level at North Carolina than J.J. McCarthy.
You're not a big fan of McCarthy either.
I'm not.
And you're a Michigan guy.
When I watched him, I thought he was an average guy, man.
Average.
And I thought he had good receivers and a great running game and a good offensive line. And that's about as best you're going to see him do. And now you're going to bring him here where he doesn't have the best offensive line. He doesn't have good receivers. He doesn't have one of the best running backs. And expect what out of him? At four?
Mm-hmm.
At six?
Mm-hmm.
Hell no. I'd much rather the Giants let Minnesota get up there and let Minnesota move to six and get J.J. McCarthy. You know what I mean? He played there close to the Big Ten. I'm sure he has better brand recognition there. I'll let him go there, and I'll take Minnesota's 23rd pick, and I'll go get Michael Penix with the 23rd pick, and I'll be okay. Or I'll get Bo Nix with the 23rd pick and be okay.
Jeremy Fowler.
I'll get Malik Nabers or Doomsday right there, so I have two for one.
Well, there you go. And you're thinking like, again, Mel Kiper is thinking. Because Mel Kiper's response to all this stuff about taking a quarterback, whether it's at six or moving up to four, he is dead set against it.
Daniel Jones had a bad offensive line, no explosive receivers, and he got hurt because he had a bad team around him. I mean, give me a break. I mean, it's Daniel Jones nonsense. His critique of Daniel Jones like he's nothing is ridiculous. A couple years ago, he beat Kirk Cousins in Minnesota at a heck of a year. You can't do much as a quarterback when you get no support, okay? So let's get him a receiver like Malik Nabers or Romo Dunze. If they want to go back into the late first or jump up into the second and get a Bo Nix, if Brian Daboll wants to do that, fine, but you got to get the receiver at six and help this guy, give him a fighting chance this year to have some success.
And he has always been on Daniel Jones' side, right? He has always believed in him as a prospect. Do you agree with the assessment that all this talk about Daniel Jones and his lack of success in New York and the feeling is that this current regime wants to move on from him, do you feel like that it's misstated, that it is unfair to Daniel Jones, and it could be potentially a mistake by this franchise?
I don't think it's a mistake because I like Daniel Jones, and you know how I feel about
you've
him
always,
as well.
You've always been on him, right?
I think he hasn't been given a fair shake. But the two things that's going against him is, one, his salary cap is rising. Two, he can't stay on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a big body of work that proves that he can't stay on the field. So that's what concerns me more of anything.
But you heard what Kiper said. The reason why he can't stay on the field was not his fault. It's the fault of a bad offensive line.
Nah, he has to bear some of the brunt.
Okay.
Like he seemed like a guy that gets hurt easy. And what I get concerned with is what Peyton Manning had to deal with. When I start hearing your neck as a quarterback, a guy who has to look left to right, and every time you get hit, you get a bit of whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody hits you from the back and you don't see him, or in the front, your head's going to naturally do that.
Mm-hmm.
That just tells me that you're not long for the job.
Now, here's Daniel Jones yesterday talking about the neck and how that's doing.
My neck's 100% healthy. That was a stinger-type injury that's pretty common in football, and it's calmed down, and I feel good.
Right, so does that remove any concern?
It calms down because your ass ain't got hit in 5 months. You're going to be getting hit.
Yeah, well, the whole idea is that he doesn't get hit.
No, you can't get away from getting hit. That's part of the game. Whether he has a good line or not, whether he's getting sacked or not, he going to get hit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you don't not get hit, but the point is,
like,
is to not.
Peyton Manning,
he's gotten laid out a few times. We know this.
No, I got it. But it ain't those. It's the little mini hits. And, like, if it's a nerve thing, nerves flare up. You have no idea when nerves are going to flare up. And, you know, I just get concerned. He's so young that I want to, if I can find a way to get out of that contract next year instead of being on a hook for three more years,
mm-hmm.
I got to go.
So then where we go from here is the bigger concern.
I'm trading back.
You have
I need to know what the hell Darren Waller is doing, bro.
Well, you do. You definitely do.
Like, I need to know, like, what we doing, bro?
Yeah.
Like, what's
don't
up?
You know? If you don't know, don't you kind of know? Like, you'd be leaning towards he's definitely not. I'd rather be surprised by a decision that he says, you know what, I want to play. Because I do feel like if you're mulling retirement, that means you're kind of like.
When you say, yeah, I want to play, like, why, man? Come on, just go.
You sure?
Here's the thing, right? Dream scenario for me.
Dream scenario. Okay.
The Giants trade with Minnesota. Minnesota jumps up five spots. Those five spots cost Minnesota their first two draft picks. It cost them 11 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
I still got my two. I go get the tight end from Georgia. Then
right. Flowers.
Then I go get Michael Penix. And then I get the guy from South Carolina in Leggett or something like that. He's a great receiver. He's basically like DJ Metcalf. He ran a 4.3, like 230.
And that's what your second round or later?
That's
pick?
My second round. So I got my receiver.
So Penix you'd get with the later with that 20 something first round pick.
I got my quarterback. I got my tight end.
And the Vikings are going to give all this up just for the opportunity to draft JJ McCarthy.
And that will signal the end of the O'Connell era.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't run the ball. They got the receivers, Addison and Jefferson and TJ Hockenson. They got to throw the ball.
Yeah.
They don't have a great offensive line. They got a better offensive line than what they've had. It's improved. Mm-hmm. But they don't really run the ball. And even though he comes from this Sean McVay, Todd Gurley, pound the ball, that hasn't been – that's why they let Dalvin Cook go.
Right.
After having over 1,000 yards.
I just feel like with the Giants, I know you're talking about the money part of it, but I already know what I have in Daniel Jones. I have a guy that when he's healthy can get me to the playoffs and we can win a playoff game.
It's like
– right? I know that. What I don't – the biggest unknown for the Giants is where do you go from here? You have no idea what you're getting out of Penix. You have no idea the next year's draft. You have no idea free agency or trade for a quarterback.
But Alan,
a quarterback to be a capable team in the NFL.
But Alan,
somebody's got to play this position.
But, Alan, here's the deal. If you get Penix at 23, that's like a second-round draft pick.
Well, no, it's a five-year contract.
Yeah, that's what you want because you don't have to pick up the option if you don't want the 5-year contract.
What are you doing? We're kicking the can down the road?
No. Here's it is.
Okay.
Even if Daniel Jones balled the hell out, you still got him under contract. It becomes Aaron Rodgers.
So
what do you mean? It becomes Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love all over again.
Spend a whole year basically saying we don't want you anymore, and now.
But if you ball out, then you can keep him for 3 years. Like just think, Daniel Jones got 3 years left on his contract. You can start Penix after 3 years and still have 2 years to assess him, just like Jordan Love. That's best case scenario. That means Daniel Jones playing like an MVP.
Using a first round pick on a quarterback that you might not see for 3 years.
Does it sound familiar?
Yeah, it does sound familiar.
Sounds real familiar.
That's what Green Bay did. Yeah.
Right. And you can still develop this guy. And when he's ready, he's ready. If Daniel Jones is stinks it up this year, then you go Michael Penix. And then you say to 40,000.
But what if he's not ready?
How can he not be ready? Dude's 24 years
old. Doesn't matter.
Hold up. He going to sit a whole year.
Another guy that gets hurt, by the way.
He going to sit a whole year and not be ready.
A guy that gets hurt,
okay,
by the way.
Okay, Bo Nix. Does that make you feel better?
No.
He don't get hurt.
I don't know what I'm getting. That's why I said that there's an unknown right now. And the reason why you're doing this,
missing a point.
Then why would you use a first round pick on a quarterback if Daniel Jones could be get as many weapons as you can? They don't have enough weapons, Bart. They don't have enough.
In this scenario, I still got you two weapons. You can take Leggett out and get Brian Thomas, who went over 1,000. That has the highest catch percentage.
You're doing this.
I just gave you.
No.
Alan,
you can't do this and then just giving me that he's going to be great. How do you know? You have no idea.
If he's not great, you eat the 23rd pick and say, hey, because I moved back, that's an extra pick. So if it's good, it's good. If it's not, it's not. I just moved back and got what I wanted anyway.
You have too many holes to fill.
I just felt too great.
Didn't fill them. You have no idea. You're giving me rookies and saying they're going to be great. I don't know that.
I'm sorry. What's the draft all about? Betting on rookies.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what you talking about?
Right, and you're using one of these picks to get a quarterback that I might not need. Might not need him.
You always need a good quarterback.
No, you don't. You think you have one. That's the problem. You draft a quarterback in the first round because you're telling yourself that this guy that I have right now,
was Alex Smith,
he's not for long.
Was Alex Smith not a great quarterback?
Oh, don't do that.
Was Alex Smith not a guy that they still...
They knew they were moving on from him. He was at the end of his deal. They knew they were moving on from him. He had one more year left.
Okay, and you know you're moving on from who?
It was a top 10 pick.
And you know you moved... Right, and I'm telling you, they did a top 10 pick.
Alex Smith was a veteran, though. Daniel Jones is just figuring it out.
Hell no. At this age, Daniel Jones is a veteran. He's in his second contract.
He is not Alex Smith.
No, whoa. But don't.
Alex Smith was on his second team.
Tell me this. At this point, he was on his second contract.
Yes. No, second team.
And his second contract.
Right. So he was established in the league, knew what he was. Daniel Jones is still trying to figure it out.
Alex Smith didn't know who he was. It took North Turner to figure out who the hell Alex Smith was. Alex Smith was considered a bust until North Turner came there, and they decided to move on. Remember, he got replaced by Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I'm aware.
And then he went to Kansas City for 2 years, and then
got replaced again.
So
right.
So who cares? Like, at this point, you got to start looking at Daniel Jones as a veteran. He's in his second year. He's past year five. Like, for most football players, not named quarterbacks, that's damn near the horizon. It's starting to go downhill from now. We got less time in front of us than we do behind us. He's going into what, year six?
Daniel Jones?
Yes. You keep saying he's a damn rookie.
Well, like, I didn't say he's a, I never said he's a rookie.
He's going into his sixth season.
Never said he's a rookie.
He's going into his sixth season.
Okay.
His second regime.
Yeah.
So quit saying he's a young quarterback.
And the last thing we saw from him was the best quarterback play you've had since Eli. The last thing we saw from him.
Yeah, all 15 touchdown passes.
Okay.
Yeah, all 15 of them, right?
It's so funny how you didn't allow that in previous discussions, but now you're going to use it against
him. I'm giving you insurance. And
I don't think they should draft a quarterback.
Hold up. The Giants have two picks, right?
No. What do you mean they have two picks?
They got one.
They have six.
They're six.
Yeah.
And then they have a second-round draft pick.
Okay.
So
they have a later second round, remember.
Yes.
It's a little bit later. It's not early.
So tell me this. They can always package something else and move up.
Yeah.
So tell me this.
That's when you can get Bo Nix or something like that.
But tell me this. If all I got to do is move back and I'm still possibly going to get my tight end that I need to replace. Hold up. I need to replace my tight end because he's talking about retirement.
I got you on
right.
that.
Right. So if I end up with three picks because I trade with Minnesota and one of those picks don't work out, who cares? I basically picked the same people that I would have picked with two picks. So that pick is a luxury pick, correct? And I swung big on a luxury pick.
Okay.
So how are you upset? That's the same value. You didn't lose anything. All you did was pick four picks later. Five picks later, you picked. And you got a tight end that you was going to probably get anyway,
mm-hmm.
or that you need
now. And that's
now.
Knowing that Waller is out, right? That's knowing Waller's out.
That you need.
Okay.
And you got the receiver because you
I see what you're saying.
You can get Brian Thomas. You're saying. So how did I not – I helped Daniel Jones and I helped this quarterback if he's going to be the future quarterback.
I see what you're saying.
Thank you. Thank you.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
So that would be my plan. That's the dream scenario.
Or you take –
Oh, now you want to take three skill positions.
No, you stay at six and you just take the whatever wide receiver, the best wide receiver left. And you take Neighbors or you take, you feel is better. And you just keep adding to the pile. You take a guy who's an elite wide receiver and you add him to a team that doesn't have any playmakers. I have no playmakers.
But I'm telling you.
That guy could be a playmaker.
But I'm telling you you can get Brian Thomas as well.
I would rather have the best possible talent to tell give me a playmaker than
tell me this
later on.
Tell me this.
But the tight end thing I can get. I get the tight end part.
So tell me this. DK Metcalf was a first round draft pick, right?
I don't know what DK Metcalf is. I don't know.
No, you didn't. DK Metcalf was hurt most of his senior year.
No, I know what he is now.
No. But I'm saying I'm giving you the scenario. DJ Metcalf
right.
went first round. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
His teammate went where?
His teammate.
Okay.
He has a lot of teammates. Who are we talking about?
I'll tell you his teammate in college. His teammate in college went in the second round. Would you like to know said name?
That would be great.
Yeah, it would be A.J. Brown. Who's considered the better receiver? Now, I'm telling you, Malik Neighbors is on a team that had a record setting with Jalen Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to tell you that Brian Thomas is 6'4", runs a 4.3.
There was a lot of talk about it.
And had over 1,000. So you can get both. That's what I'm trying to say. The Giants can get greedy.
Okay.
And get the tight end. Tell me this. Would you rather have Malik Neighbors and Daniel Jones? Or would you rather have Bowers and Brian Thomas? Or Bowens?
Brian Thomas. I feel
What I'm saying. Would you rather?
I'd rather the best talent possible. All right.
And so you got a generational tight end.
And I got to check.
And potentially.
I got to check you. Metcalf wasn't a first round pick. They both were second round picks.
Okay.
Right.
But Metcalf went first.
No.
No. To AJ Brown went number 51. DK Metcalf went number 64.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're both second round. They're both late second round picks.
But you get my point. Metcalf went.
No.
Metcalf would have went first.
But you're missing my point. My point is, I want the best possible talent to give me a playmaker that my offense lacks. And I know I can get that at six.
Like what you,
I don't know.
Like what you thought you were
later.
Like what you thought you were getting when you brought in Darren Waller.
Yeah, and it didn't work out.
And now you can get.
You brought in a guy. No, that was Darren Waller was a high risk, high reward kind of move.
So now,
and it's turned into a risk.
So now you can go get the tight end.
Do I want any more risks, or do I want a guarantee?
The tight end should be there.
Is a tight end? You build an offense around a tight end?
Hold up! You just said the Jets take a tight end.
No, I never said the Jets take a tight end.
Everybody has the Jets taking that same tight end.
I don't. I'm with you on the trade back thing if I'm the Jets. Like, I get that part of it because I don't think the Jets need a tight end. They don't. I'd rather have depth in the offensive line, which if I can move back to get that and get a second-round pick, great. Let's do it. But the Giants lack playmakers on offense. That's all I'm trying to say. And I need somebody that can step in and do what Garrett Wilson has done and other players have done. Like, where you see, all right, I got a guy now, and my quarterback has actually someone to throw to that might be a significant player. That'd be helpful because there's no Saquon Barkley now. There's nothing. So this talk of getting a quarterback that you don't have a top three pick, you should not be trying to get a quarterback in this draft unless you desperately need one.
Bro, I'm moving back, like I said, man. I'm moving back.
All right, and you're not going to get a high-end offensive talent as a result.
Why not?
Super late here.
Bro, why is it not talent in the first top 10, top 11?
Because usually you get the best talent at the top.
You're getting an extra pick.
All right. Audio files coming up. We can kick this around for the rest of the show. 800-919-3776. If you agree, Bart's not making a bad point. He's making a good point. I'm just saying that I just feel like this talk with the Giants and a quarterback, I'm with Mel. It doesn't make sense. Not in this draft. Doesn't make sense. And there's not one next year.
And I'm telling you, you can get both.
They have a quarterback. They just got to protect him.
I'm telling you, you can get both.
All right, I get it. All right, we'll continue with your calls. We got audio files coming up next. And Bart, I do need Samwell from you, though.
Play my beautiful music. Friends, go see Dr. Jay Shaw. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things you love. It's time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call my friend, Dr. Jay Shaw, today at Samwell.com. Well, not .com. Call him at Samwell Pain. Dr. Shaw treats joint, back, neck, and sciatica and nerve pain. Dr. Shaw is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, no scars, no incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shaw and take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without any pain medication. Enjoy a pain-free life. Same day or next day appointments are available. Go to SamwellPain.com to put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shaw by going to SamwellPain.com now. Regain your active lifestyle and enjoy all your favorite activities pain-free. Samwell Pain now has three convenient locations, Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SamwellPain.com. You wish you met Dr. Jay Shaw a lot sooner. Most major insurances are accepted.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the Knicks, the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, are awaiting the winner of tomorrow night's game between the Sixers and the Heat. Yesterday in the K-Show, guys were talking with Kendrick Perkins and asked, would the Knicks have been better off as the 3?
No, they're fine. This Knicks team is not ducking any smoke. And at some point, if you're trying to get to the promised land or trying to get deep into the playoffs, you're going to have to play top-level competition. When I look at the Philadelphia 76ers, I mean, Joel Embiid is not 100%. He has 0 dunks since returning from injury. When I look at the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler looks exhausted.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's get right to it. 800-919-3776 is the number, so your calls we'll get back to.
Is Jake going to bring us in?
And more. You want Jake to do it?
Yeah. He always does with so much pizzazz.
Actually, he does sound like you when he does it, too. All right. It's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files. Did you gargle?
What happened there?
See, when you ain't here, Jake usually reads the whole thing.
Yeah, I do. I usually do the whole lead up to.
Yeah, and I go audio files.
Oh, that you wanted him
to
do. Oh, I thought you were going to have. Because you notice he had that.
He'd be forgetting the line.
He went heavy New York to audio.
Audio.
Like it's O R D I O.
I thought he was gargling. You know, audio. The read of it is shit.
No, he does. But he does do the power. He does hit the power out. So we don't want to get on his case.
He said it like you with the Ric Flair. Woo!
Listen.
Did you hear it yesterday?
Wait,
Jake?
Did you? I had a, that was a good woo.
It was no high pitch.
How come it's not on the page anymore?
It was woo.
I was tuned in from home. I was listening to the show.
It was woo.
I was kind of like, I agree with Barry. It was a little baritone. Woo. It was a little deeper than Rick Flair.
And it's off the
you
page.
I thought that was baritone calling in. Go woo.
You think
you like you sound like this. That's how I imagine the chef. That's how I imagine the chef from.
Come on, now. Wait, hang on a second. Later.
That's how I imagine the chef from South Park.
Wait, everybody, be quiet. Everybody, like, all right, Jake, assess. Ready? Come on.
Now, do we have Ric Flair doing it so you can hear what it's supposed to sound like?
Okay, this is that. I mean, I leaned into it. I thought it was pretty good. You don't think it was that good?
You must go now.
You know what's funny about that clip?
Whoa,
I got that dog in me.
Whoa.
Boy.
Yeah, it's Bart's.
Hold on, Bart. You can't say nothing.
That was Bart's.
No, I'm just being silly. That ain't my official Ric Flair voice.
This is Bart's.
Whoa.
I mean, come
no,
on, man.
No, you do like, it. Let's do it right now. Whoa. Let's do it right now. Nope. Cause you know, like the best Ric Flair.
Woo, everybody! Woo,
when they're really going at each other.
Yes, woo.
You know what I'm saying? Remember, like with Ric Flair, like they used to go at each other. Him and Sting, when they had some of them legendary fights, they would do it back and forth. Cause Sting would go, "Ow!" and Ric Flair would go, "Ooh!" See, woo.
I still like mine better.
Woo!
Who's that Who's that note?
Oh, that's Greeny. Greeny wasn't having it.
I agree, like, nope.
You know, there's only so much you can do on
you
it.
You got to kind of,
All right, can we get to...
You sound like Training Day. You ever had your stuff pushed in?
Pushed in.
My stuff pushed in, bro.
Can we get to...
Yes, audio files.
All right, we're in there now.
All right, am I leading in or... Right.
Talking makes me hungry.
Yeah, you go ahead and do it.
All right, Bart, Alan, it's time for us to step aside and let the newsmakers decide. In this segment, we'd like to call...
I mean, what the hell was that? What the hell was that?
You've heard from us. Now it's time for you to hear from the newsmakers in a segment we like to call... Audio Files! Audio Files! Audio Files!
Oh, we're off the rails already.
The Audio File.
Oh, what that was supposed to be.
You know, Jake got his West Coast... I don't want to get shot by the Bloods or Crips hat on. Like that's the gang. He got the gang neutral hat on. look, cause it got like the gang affiliation, or it got the Lakers, but he made sure it was black and white. Like, listen, I ain't got no future. Nothing that could be considered blue or
no
black.
No red. All right. Where do we even begin on this one? Let's see. So on the hockey front last night, the New York Rangers get their win, their 55th of the season. It's a franchise record. They have the President's Trophy, which means they had the best record in the NHL for the regular season. For Peter Laviolette, that's just another step along the way.
Boxes are checked. So it was good. I mean, it was a good regular season. You know, you got to do well in this part of the process in order to get a chance to play for the Cup. And so we're able to do that. And I think the guys are really excited to move forward, looking forward to that and getting going with the playoffs.
And the Rangers in the last 14 years, 15 years, are the only franchise in New York to have finished a regular season with the best record of any team in the league. They've done it twice now. The last time they did it was 2015. Did not win the Cup, and that's the big story, of course. President's Trophy doesn't guarantee you anything, so they go back to zero. And now time to see if the Rangers can win their first Cup since 1994. The New York Islanders also punched their ticket to the postseason. They get a win last night against the Devils and make a 7-0-1 run to go from a team that looked like they were dead in the water to now a playoff team. Here's new head coach Patrick Waugh.
Well, we're going to enjoy tonight, and then we're going to focus on our game against Pittsburgh on the Thursday night. But, I mean, from my past experience, everything is possible. You know, nobody gave us our chance in Montreal in 86 or 93, and we just played one game at a time, and we didn't look more than that. And I think right now, let's finish our season, and I guess there's a good chance to be Carolina, so it would be interesting for us.
Did he just invoke Kevin Garnett? Did he just give us an anything's possible?
Mm.
Right?
We used to have that.
Anything's possible! Yes.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard from Patrick Waugh. Is that the rally cry for the Islanders?
He put the bat saying, well, he put the Thundercat thing.
Anything's thunder. Possible. Thunder. I do like that.
Can we get that too, Jake? I love that. The thunder.
Whoa! That one? Not that one?
Really? Let me play yours.
You mean this one?
Whoa!
Or is this me?
I hate it here!
You will respect my authority!
You will respect my authority.
In the NBA, we have the first of the play-ins tonight, the Western Conference games. You'll have the Lakers and the Pelicans for the 7-8. So the winner of that will play will be the seventh seed. They'll play the Denver Nuggets. And then the loser of that game will then play. You okay? Don't. You good? All right. I don't want to get a life back or anything like that. You all right? All right. And then there's the Golden State Warriors playing the Kings, and the winner of that game will play the loser of 7-8 to see who gets the eighth seed, and that game will be on Friday. That team will then go on to play the Oklahoma City Thunder in the West. And, you know, Bart, do you like the play-in? Do you think it's a good idea in the NBA?
I think before we were all skeptical about it. We was like, they're just putting more bad teams into the playoffs.
Right.
But in this instance, you talk about star power, LeBron James. Talk about the play-in last year, what happened with the Miami Heat going all the way to the championship.
That's right.
So it lets you know, it's almost like expanding the tournament in basketball.
So think about it, 20, right? It's that's what all you're doing so now. Two-thirds of the league is now engaged in postseason play.
Yes, and guys play, like guys don't go on like the injury list anymore. Yeah. Because they don't tank.
Games matter, right?
They don't tank at the end.
Okay, so you like it.
I do.
Well, LeBron doesn't like it. He said whoever invented this should be fired. But his team's been in the play-in the last 2 years. So, I mean, if not for this, you'd be done.
So, bile out, LeBrick.
And the other one, of course, is Draymond Green, who on his podcast said he hates it as a player.
I hate the play-in, just so you all. I absolutely hate it. It's the best thing ever created. When you look at the play-in and what it's done for basketball, it's the best thing ever created. I don't know who came up with it. I know Bron said they need to be fired. If they were fired when Bron said that, they need to get their job back because the play-in is insane. Like, since the NBA has added the play-in, it's taken the last month and a half of the season to a totally different level. Like, totally different. And so, I hate the play-in. I especially hate being in the 10 seed, but as much as I hate it as a basketball player, as a basketball fan, this play-in is nuts, and you gotta love it.
Think about it. You're the 10th seed. You'd be going home right now. Like, you're still alive.
Some people might be getting fired.
Well, think about it. They finished 27-12.
Right.
They had a good finish. It wasn't good enough to get in the top eight, but you still have a chance, if you're playing well, to recover your season and find your way into the tournament. That's what you're doing. That's what's great about the play-in. Everybody should love it, and if you don't, you just don't get it.
I think also it allows teams that maybe sustain injuries early in the season.
Right.
Like we know that Philly's a good team.
That's right.
And it gave, you know, a guy like Joel Embiid an opportunity, something to shoot for, to come back, and they can do damage.
That's right.
So I like that because
it's perfect.
Sometimes things, now people like might get mad because why we got to deal with him? He should be eliminated. But that's not in the heart of competition.
I think it's been great. It's been great. It's been great for the league.
I like it.
Last but not least, some news yesterday on the Yankee front, on the announcing front. The great John Sterling, the one too low, has called it a career. And it's something, obviously, a voice of just generations, right? You think about
what Susan's going to do now,
Yankees
man.
Games and just his famous calls, of course. And the many great games that he is able to call in the history of the Yankees and the great, obviously, era that they had through their dynasty era. He and Michael Kay, certainly something a lot of us grew up on. And he and, you mentioned, Susan Waldman, the two of them have been a pair for a long time. And it's just been a classic sound. But remember, even before the Yankees, John Sterling also announced Islanders games back in the day during their dynasty era. And so it was good to hear some of the younger announcers pay tribute to John Sterling. The first is Wayne Randazzo. He now, of course, he got a great opportunity with the Anaheim Angels. He at LA Angels, Anaheim, what is it now? The Angels. But he, of course, spent a lot of time here in New York on the Mets broadcast. So here's Wayne Randazzo yesterday. Mike Trout hits a home run on Bally Sports, and Randazzo decides to do a little Sterling tribute.
There's a long fly ball. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Mike Trout, a two-run homer. He blasts one to give the Angels a 2-1 lead.
That's pretty cool, right?
It is high.
It is far. It is gone. Right, a great call. Now, how about Brendan Burke yesterday on MSG in the Islanders game as Kyle McLean gets a goal late to make it 4-1? And Brendan Burke decides, let's pay homage to John Sterling in his days, in his call on the Islanders.
Aho shoved down, but he's able to clear it.
You know, McLean got away with a bit of a trip there. I'm sure the referees were reluctant. Oh, look at
Anders
this.
Anders Lee shoved at the side of the net. Is it in? Goal! Islanders goal! Islanders goal! 4-1. Islanders lead it here in the third.
Well done, Berkey. I mean, that's pretty cool. Again, that's a whole long time ago. People might not have known what that was for, but that's exactly what that was for.
When I was
very
at
cool
a,
stuff.
When I was at another place, man, I can remember when Giancarlo came, and he was trying to figure out, like, a call for Giancarlo because he has a patented home run call for everybody. Like, yo, good, Giancarlo. It was something silly, man.
He says, yes, he does. He sings a little song. I think it's Italian. And then
Glaber Day.
But, yeah, no, it's, again, this is what,
you know what I'm saying? He
makes
had a call
these announcers
everybody,
unique and beloved, yeah. And so, an end of era in New York. And so, farewell,
didn't call
John,
Bay,
and all the best.
Did he call Babe Ruth and Willie Mays?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
But it does feel like that. That is Audio Files. 800-919-3776.
Everything is possible.
And that's right. We're going to. That's it. That's the rally cry now. Patrick Waugh.
Everything is possible.
Love it.
I didn't really swallow. I just put the fuzz on my lip.
The NBA play-in tournament gives teams a chance to play their way into the postseason, so it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You got the Lakers the Warriors tonight, the Kings, the Pelicans. Kings and Warriors game should be very interesting. I wonder if that's going to be a high-scoring affair. Keep in mind on that one. Lakers-Pelicans, like points in the paint might be something to watch. Three-pointers made in the game is another way you could go. Over-under, like I said, I don't know if that Kings-Warriors might be an over. First basket, would you take Steph Curry? So much more you could do as well. Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Joe in Staten Island, what's happening, Joe?
Hey, Bart and Han, how are we feeling today?
What's going on?
Well, first, I just want to shout out my friend, Christy. She's in Texas listening on the radio right now.
All right. How you doing, Christy?
I just want to say that. And I got to disagree with what you were saying before with the draft, because in this year's draft, right now, it's not a swing and miss draft. If we have a chance to get a guy at 10, like Brock Bowers, who could make an immediate impact right away on this offense, I can't imagine why we wouldn't at least try to do that. I mean, why get a guy? Here's what I'm saying. Defensive linemen in college are completely different from D linemen in the NFL. So if this guy is not the top-rated O lineman in this draft, why would we swing out on this guy? Why would that make sense?
I would move back if I was the Jets, because if Joe Alt's not there, Bowers is not good enough for me to not to get an offensive lineman. If that's the case, I'll move back. It's plenty of tackles. I like Olu Fashanu. And the knock on Olu Fashanu,
more of a developmental piece.
Yeah, no, but the knock on Olu Fashanu, no. See, Joe.
But you don't need that.
See, Joe, this is the problem, Joe. If he would have came out last year, he would have been a number one left tackle coming out. And then what people do is they try and break him down. I don't think he surrendered any sacks in college. His comp is Tyron Smith. And the problem they say, this is the issue they say. They say he's not a dominant run blocker. But he is by far the best left tackle in pass protection to come out in the last decade, is what they're saying. I don't care if he can't. Joe, hold on, let me finish. Joe, what I'm saying is I don't care if he can't run block. Because guess what? I'll pull a Vera Tucker over there to help him run block. Or I'll put a tight end out there. But if he can protect my blind side of my old quarterback, then I'm good with that.
And I have my tackles, I have to make sure they stay on the field, which means I cannot overplay them. I need depth in the offensive line.
I just want to say one thing.
Okay.
If God forbid we get an injury on the O-line, let's just say week four, week five, are we really going to still just look in the fire
Yes.
That's how you do it.
Hold up. You put Andrew Thomas
in. He's saying win now. I get it.
Yeah, but win now means that what happens if the worst case scenario happens? Tyron Smith gets injured, hasn't played a full season all year, and then you got to put somebody that's a turnstop. Then you say, oh, well, Vera Tucker, can you go over there and play left tackle?
No,
then
he now gets you get hurt. Him hurt. Right.
Yeah. No.
Can't afford that. No, and I get what he's saying. Like, what he's saying is not wrong.
You can do
he's
both.
He's saying you win now, and he's saying that Bowers is because of the talent aspect of it, but is tight end an area of need? It is not.
How did Tristan,
your area of need is depth at offensive line.
Right. How did Tristan work out?
As a rookie, he was very good.
Okay.
Yeah, he was excellent.
Uh-huh.
No, it's but what he's saying is not wrong. It's just that kind of thinking, I feel like. Look, if Adunze is a 10, do you take Adunze?
Yes.
Of course you do, right? Because that's an area of need. You need more depth and talent and skill at that position, so you take it. But if you don't, I would
move back.
Like, that's one where I agree with you on the whole trade back thing. I completely agree.
Move back and get Olu Fashanu.
Yeah.
Move back to like 16, get Olu Fashanu.
Mm-hmm.
Or move back and get the guy from Oregon State.
Yeah. All right.
And then get a second-round draft pick, which we'll all be happy with.
Power Hour coming up next. Let's get into some NBA, the matchups tonight. And USA's roster for Paris, basketball roster, has been released, or at least Woj has it. There's a very interesting name not on it. We'll tell you who it is next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the Knicks get to sit back a couple of days and wait to find out who they will face in the first round of the playoffs. Will it be the Heat? Will it be the 76ers? Yesterday on the K-Show, guys were talking with Kendrick Perkins and asked him, what is the Knicks' biggest concern for the first round?
Is Dante, Josh Hart, McBride, Bogdanovic, are they going to make shots consistently? Because it's going to be, the playoffs game is going to be trap Jalen Brunson. Okay, if you trap Jalen Brunson, he's going to make the right play. Now, when he does make the right play, are those shooters going to be able to knock down shots? If they are, it's going to open things back up for Jalen Brunson. But I think the Knicks are prepared for this because they've been seeing this type of defense all since the All-Star break.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.